welcome to the Thursday, January 12th edition of Juno Afternoon, coming at you live from the KTO studios. We've got a great show. We're going to be talking to two women from UAS. One's an academic advisor, and the other one is the academic exchange and study abroad expert. So we'll learn a little bit about that. And then we'll get a preview of Thursday night tonight's Audubon presentation by Adelaide Johnson. And then there's a Saturday's Brown Boots brunch, and we'll end with Nancy DeCherney with Arts Up. All that and more. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Authorities say it is now safe for people living on the Rocky Boys Reservation to drink their tap water. Nikki Ouellette of Montana Public Radio reports the Environmental Protection Agency this week lifted a boil water order.
The order was issued December 22nd after several waterline breaks depleted the area's rural water supply and left more than 2,000 people without clean drinking water. Dustin White is the director of the Chippewa Cree Tribal Water Resources Division, which has been handing out and delivering a few hundred cases of bottled water per day since December 23rd.
This break kind of brought to daylight the need for the upgrades. It kind of exposed us to where our shortfalls are, not only with the old system, but our source water.
Water delivery and repairs to the pipes cost the Tribal Water Resources Division roughly $70,000 over the past 3 weeks. White says the tribe submitted an emergency declaration with the Montana Department of Emergency Services last Tuesday to partially reimburse the division for purchasing and delivering water. On Monday, the tribe signed a funding request agreement with Indian Health Service for $13,000 in reimbursement to cover repair costs. For National Native News, I'm Nikki Ouellette.
The State of Tribes address is set for today at the South Dakota Legislature. Chairman Robert Flynhawk of the Yankton Sioux Tribe will deliver the speech. South Dakota Governor Dennis Dugard mentioned tribal initiatives in his state address earlier this week, which included areas in education, tax collection, and parole. Native legislator Sean Bordeaux wanted to hear the governor discuss the Dakota Access Pipeline. South Dakota tribes are among those in support of efforts by the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe in its opposition of the pipeline project. Bordeaux wanted to hear about what efforts are underway to improve race relations. This will be the second such tribal address before lawmakers. Last year, Cheyenne River Sioux Tribal Chairman Harold Frazier delivered the first address. He discussed the need for partnerships between tribes and the state in areas including economic development and health care. Indian Nations Day was held at the Arizona State Capitol Wednesday. Native legislators, tribal leaders, and directors of Native American organizations were among attendees. On the agenda was a tribal food summit hosted by the Arizona Department of Agriculture. A small business workshop was also on the agenda for 7th through 12th grade students. Meanwhile, grassroots groups held press conferences and demonstrations outside. Native American and environmental groups are seeking the protection of land and water from development. One area of land is near the Grand Canyon. Tribes and environmental groups have been advocating for a national monument there. Members of the group Arizona Stands with Standing Rock are asking state lawmakers and Arizona tribes to divest from the Dakota Access Pipeline and protect sites and water in both Arizona and North Dakota. U.S. Republican senators took a step early Thursday, passing a measure to start repealing the Affordable Care Act. New Mexico Senator Tom Udall was among Democrats to vote against the measure. Udall also offered an amendment to protect Indian health care, but it did not get a vote during the Senate's late-night flurry of votes on budget resolutions. Some Democratic lawmakers and health care officials see problems with repealing the Affordable Care Act, seeing it would result in cuts to Medicaid and impact the Indian Health Service. The IHS serves as a primary source of health care for many American Indians and Alaska Natives across the country. Udall's office says he plans on offering the amendment again. It would protect health care for Indian country by effectively exempting the Indian Health Service and other tribal health providers from Medicaid cuts if a repeal happens. The amendment is co-sponsored by 8 senators who come from states with tribal nations. Tribes in New Mexico and a handful of national Native organizations support the amendment. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
It is 5 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO, coming at you live from Alaska's capital city. And the weather right now is, rest of today is rain and snow. No new snow accumulation. Highs in the mid-30s. Tonight, rain. Low in the mid-30s. Tomorrow, rain. Highs in the mid-30s. And tomorrow night, rain. Low in the mid-30s. Lows in the mid-30s as well. And as I'm looking at our little weather screen, it's 100% precipitation. So right now, 37 at the airport, 39 downtown, 33 in the Mendenhall Valley, and in Douglas, it's 40. So all you skiers are probably putting your skis on and heading out to the valley to do some skiing tonight, maybe. So here we are, Juno Afternoon. We have four guests today. Our very first guests are from UAS. We have Amy Richards, who's the academic advisor for the university, and we have Marcia Squires, who's the academic exchange and study abroad person. So thank you, ladies, for coming down today.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Well, let's first talk about... It's not quite spring, but you call it spring semester, correct?
Right. We're looking forward to spring, and our spring semester starts this coming Tuesday, January 17th. So we're here to let everyone know that it's not too late to register for class. If you're, you know, you've been thinking of maybe taking something and putting it off, or are curious about what we're offering this spring, call us at 796-6000, and we can tell you about what we're offering and help you get registered for class.
Sounds great. Mm-hmm. And the whole catalog is online as well.
Everything's online at our website, uas.alaska.edu, and you can see all our offerings there. We have dozens and dozens of on-campus and online classes, depending on your interest.
Okay. And then do you have anything new for the spring?
We sure do. So we have a new fisheries stream as part of our biology program. And if you're curious about that, there's a new intro to fisheries class you can take with us. And we also have a new faculty member, Mikhail D'Angeli, and she's offering some new classes in Tsimshian culture and history. And her husband's also on board offering some Northwest Coast art classes.
Sounds lovely. I like the fishery stream.
Yeah, that's great. New fishery stream.
And then isn't the university have some kind of program about, what's the name of it, to bring people back and let them get local rates or, you know, in-state rates, I think.
Yeah, so the state has an excellent program called Come Home to Alaska, and it's for family members of people that live here. So if you have a parent or a grandparent that lives in Alaska and you've been away for some time, you can return home to Alaska, come to university here, and pay in-state tuition rates. So it's a great program. A lot of people are taking advantage of it to help them with the costs of post-secondary.
Definitely. College costs, indeed. Well, that sounds great. And now so that's kind of our local update. Now we're going to get the more broad update of what UAS is involved with Marcia, as far as the academic exchange program. Can you tell us a little bit about the university's exchange program?
Absolutely. I'd love to. So we have two different programs or two different offerings in terms of national and international study away programs. And our national program allows students to visit over, if they want to choose from about 200 different universities within the United States and its territories. They could go to Puerto Rico or Guam or the Virgin Islands. And we have about six programs within the international realm of things. And they're all very unique, those six programs. And there are 350 sites where students can choose from. So if you wanted to get an idea of where some of our students have gone, because we have quite a menagerie of locations, We just had some students out in Austria, Peru, Spain, France, Puerto Rico, Montana, Hawaii, Guam, all over the place. And these programs are available for students of all degrees. So if you're a student who's interested in education or biology, English, math, or even undeclared student, they're not quite sure what they want, these programs are available to them as well.
Let's define what the program is. So you are, someone is registered at UAS in one of the degree programs or is undeclared at the moment. And can you do this your first year, your second year, your third year? How does it work?
Okay, we do have some eligibility requirements, so thank you for asking that. So you do need to be admitted to UAS and be a full-time student. You also need to have about 16 to 24 credits under your belt. And the reason for that is, of course, to see how you're doing in classes as a college student, what your GPA is going to be, and also creating relationships with staff, faculty, so that they can help you with your reference. And you do have to have good standing. You have to have a certain GPA. Students with the national program need to have a 2.5, and with international programs, it's either a 2.75 or a 3.0 to participate in the programs.
Okay. And what's the cost associated with these programs?
Well, that's a great one, because that's one of those myths that I really like to clear up for students and parents as well, because they're often holding the pocketbook sometimes. And that is that the national program, students can participate in that national program by either paying UAS for their regular 15 credits, as they normally do at UAS, or they can pay in-state tuition at that host institution. So let's say you wanted to go to Boston, Massachusetts, you would be paying their in-state tuition at that school.
But it's an option? It's either or?
Well, it's a little bit, this program, the national program, is competitive, and so some schools and state regulations allow us to offer either or option, and some programs or some states only allow you to pay your home institution. So that kind of depends.
What about the international program?
So the international programs are different. Like I said, there's six different programs, and one of them is an exchange program. And to clarify, exchange programs are competitive. You're competing for space and with other students. So one of the five is an exchange program, and that exchange cost is also based on UAS tuition, 15 upper division credits. It's a lump sum. Whereas the other programs, we have five other programs, and those costs vary. Those are study abroad programs, and they're not competitive like the exchange programs are. So if you are interested in those programs and find something that fits for you and can afford that option, those are available to you as well. Which I like to also point out that there are scholarships available for those particular programs. So your financial aid that you might have that works for you nationally or internationally goes along with you, as well as there are additional scholarships through the programs to support those.
That sounds like a wonderful opportunity.
Absolutely.
And is it typically for a semester or two semesters?
So students can go for a semester or a year, or they can go for 2 years, actually, because they can go out nationally for 1 year and they can go out internationally for a year.
Wow.
So I've had students make a combination of, I'm going to go to Peru this semester and come back and go to Montana, maybe stay another year and then go out their senior year for another semester internationally. So they can make a combination of things if they really are inspired to go.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, Jeff Brown is at the board. He's the producer and engineer of the show. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. We're chatting with representatives of UAS, the University of Alaska Southeast, our very own and very appreciated college out the road, university out the road. And the spring semester, we were just talking about opportunities to go abroad and outside, as we Alaskans call it. But Amy from the academic advising unit is here to say that spring semester starts on Tuesday, correct?
Yeah, and you know, as many opportunities as there are to go away on exchange, there are all kinds of people who are eager to come to Alaska to study, and it's an exciting destination for us to host students that Marcia works with from different countries and from different states. So that's a neat part of our experience at UAS too, is for our local students to meet students from other places as well. And we were talking about the Come Home to Alaska program, which brings some of those people back that, you know, may have been born here but left long ago, and this is a way for them to come back. Something else, you asked about new things happening at the university. I wanted to mention a new scholarship, the Chancellor's Award, and it's a great opportunity for new students to get up to $2,600 a year paid towards their on-campus housing. So if they have a good GPA and are living on campus, it's a great opportunity to subsidize their costs there. And Marcia, one other thing that popped up for me about your program, and I think one of our students recently did this, was the cool Semester at Sea program.
Oh, absolutely, yes. So the Semester at Sea program, students go for, that is a one semester program, but they hit like 11 countries, 12 to 14 port cities, seven continents. I mean, they're all over the place. And they get quite an academic realm of things, too, because they're studying on the ship. And then when they hit the port, they'll get into port and have to do some type of homework or project. They might have a service learning or volunteer opportunity that they've set up, as well as the fact that they also do excursions for those locations. And the Semester at Sea program, I've had students obtain thousands of dollars through scholarships to participate in those programs. And they come back just wowed. I mean, all our students, that's one thing I wanted to mention too, is sometimes people say, well, you know, why should students study away? And I can give you kind of those catchphrases of, you know, oh, it broadens their horizons and they come back with new perspectives. But really, you know, these opportunities wow students, really, really wow them. And they get to see the world, they see a new culture, they take in different foods and songs and smells. They learn about a different education system as well. They have some personal growth where they'll come back and have a lot more confidence in themselves and navigating the world. It helps them boost their career possibilities with gaining intercommunication skills. Perhaps they've learned a language while they've been away. They've made friends for a lifetime and had experiences that, you know, just can you remember being 18 or 20 or 22 and, you know, having these great experiences, you know, new experiences. And this is really fantastic for any student anywhere in any university.
Sounds great.
Yeah, and if people want to learn more, they can meet personally with Marcia or myself. All they have to do is call 796-6000, and they can make an appointment with their advisor if it's about study abroad or just signing up for classes. Again, it's not too late. Classes start next Tuesday, January 17th. Give us a call, and we'll help you get registered.
Sounds great.
Tomorrow is orientation, too, so any students that are local and have registered, we hope to see them tomorrow out on campus.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you
for all you do for our community, and we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 12th of January, 2017. It's the birthday of the novelist Jack London, San Francisco, 1876. Went to school through the eighth grade, then went to work, manual labor, worked in a cannery. He was an oysterman. He was a crew member aboard a seal hunting expedition to the Bering Sea. And he got along well out at sea. Jack London said, "My method was deliberate and simple. In the first place, I resolved to do my work no matter how hard or dangerous it might be, so well that no man would be called upon to do it for me." He said, "It was my pride that I was taken in as an equal, in spirit as well as in fact. From then on, everything was beautiful." Off the coast of Japan, the ship hit a typhoon. Sailors took turns at the wheel because it was so physically exhausting. London was called for his turn, ship rocking wildly, wind and rain he could barely see, waves crashing over the stern. He said, "At the end of the hour, sweating and played out, I was relieved, but I had done it. I had done my trick at the wheel and guided 100 tons of wood and iron through a few million tons of wind and waves." He came back to San Francisco and saw that there was a writing contest sponsored by the newspaper, the San Francisco Call, and he wrote about the typhoon. He wrote a piece called Story of a Typhoon Off the Coast of Japan, and it won first prize, and that was the beginning of his career as a writer. He went off to the Klondike for the gold rush, did not find gold, but he got material for his first book, The Call of the Wild. a novel about a sled dog in the Yukon and was an enormous success. He was only 27 years old. It's the birthday of John Winthrop, born Suffolk, England, 1588, the Puritan governor of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, famous for his City on the Hill sermon, in which he said that the Puritans who came to the New World had a special covenant with God to create a new holy community. He also said, though, that the rich had a holy duty to look after the poor. It's the birthday of Edmund Burke, Dublin, 1729, went into the House of Commons. He was a great orator, famous reformer, opposed the tyranny of the monarchy, supporting the cause of the American colonists, a man of great eloquence who nonetheless did not seem able to persuade others to his point of view. Here's a poem for today by Ron Kirchy, Geography of the Forehead. Everyone thinks the brain is so complicated, but let's look at the facts. The frontal lobe, for example, is located in the front, and the temporal lobe is where the clock is. What could be simpler? The hippocampal fissure is where big, dumb thoughts camp, while at the fissure of Rolando, dark-skinned men with one gold earring lie around the fire and play guitars. The superior frontal convolution is where a lot of really nice houses are set back off a twisty road, while the inferior frontal convolution is a kind of trailer park, regularly leveled by brainstorms. The area of Broca is pretty much off limits, and if you know Broca, you know why. Geography of the Forehead by Ron Kirchy from his collection Geography of the Forehead, published by University of Arkansas Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can subscribe to the Poetry Magazine podcast and the Poetry Off the Shelf podcast in the iTunes Store or listen at poetryfoundation.org. And by the Association of Writers and Writing Programs, celebrating 50 years of support, advocacy, and community. Learn more at awpwriter.org. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Get your tickets for the KTOO and Taku Fisheries Seafood Festival on January 28th at Centennial Hall with Breezin, Salt, The Rookery, Saffron, Twilight Cafe, TK McGuire's, Coconut Thai Cafe, and V Stella Door serving seafood at its best. Specialty desserts and a beer tasting with the Alaskan Brewing Company complete this culinary celebration benefiting KTOO. Tickets at KTOO.org. The Seafood Festival is brought to you with sponsorship support from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute and Pacific Seafood Processors Association.
It is 23 minutes past the hour. You're listening to the Thursday, January 12th edition of Juno Afternoon. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. Just want to let everyone know the 8th annual Poetry Omnibus Contest closes January 31. Winning entries have their poems displayed on Capital City Transit buses for 1 year. So info and entry info is at junopoets.wordpress.com. Just thought after listening to Garrison Keillor, we'd throw that in. So our next guest is Brenda Wright of the Juno Audubon Society. She's here to talk about the Audubon's presentation this evening. Welcome back, Brenda.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very sorry that Di Adelaide couldn't be here today. Adelaide Johnson, who's our speaker tonight, but she's got a really interesting program for us.
Okay, where is it?
It's going to be at the UAS Recreation Hall at room 116, starts at 7 p.m. tonight.
Okay, great. And what's it on?
Dynamic Shorelines, Shifting Benthic Habitats and Impacts on Biota.
Okay, I'm going to have to ask my, you know, confess my ignorance to all of Juno and beyond. What is benthic and what is biota?
Well, it's a great question. The benthic just means animals and plants that live on the bottom of the ocean. They don't live on the surface at all. And biota is all of the plants and animals combined.
Oh, interesting. So is this presentation about the ocean's inhabitants?
Yes, and actually it's about shorelines.
Okay.
And the part that's really interesting around here, of course, everybody knows that lives in a glacier habitat, that we're rising. It's called tectonic uplift or just uplift. And so as the glaciers recede and get lighter, our ground gets higher. But at the same time, we're having a climate change, which means the ice is melting faster and the sea level is rising. So what Di and her group of folks are all studying together, she has several colleagues, they're studying the effects on the things that grow on the shorelines that feed a lot of different animals, including birds.
Fascinating. So it's definitely our dynamic shorelines, our shifting shorelines.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was a great project because they had student interns help them collect the data. They were looking at subsistence and different and just a wild animal use of the shoreline for food. And so they got the students to help them understand that the subsistence things that they do commonly for their own food may change in the future.
Interesting. So that's tonight at UIS Rec Center, room 116, January 12th. That's today, 7 p.m. That sounds great, with Adelaide Johnson. The Dynamic Shorelines sounds fantastic. What else is coming down the pike from the Audubon
Society? I just wanted everybody to know, because this is a slightly strange request, but they're doing a special bird watch next week. It goes through January 15th through the 22nd. It's all over North America, and there's a special request to look for certain birds this winter. It's because that some of these birds are being affected more by climate change. And the only bird of the 17 that they have on their list that we have here in Juneau is the red-breasted nuthatch. Well, you know, I've only seen it 7 or 8 times myself, and I don't have a feeder at home. So I'm requesting that if you have a feeder at home and have one of these delightful little birds, you can see a photo on our webpage, the JuneauAudubonSociety.org webpage. You can see this beautiful little bird. It's very tiny. It loves going down trees with its head first. And if you see one, there's an address there that you can email and say what your address is and what day you saw it.
Okay, you heard it. It's a bird watch.
Yeah, we'd really appreciate your help. And we've got just one other really fun thing coming up in February. The Great Backyard Bird Count. We'll be on the radio again, I'm sure, in February to talk about it. But it occurs over 4 days, and great backyard means not just your yard, but anywhere you are at all. You can do it when you're skiing. You can do it when you're looking out the window. You can do it when you're sitting on the shore at your office. As long as you count birds for 15 minutes, it counts. And when they're just trying to look at the population of birds in wintertime, that's all that's about.
That sounds so really like you're anywhere and you see a bird, but you want a 15-minute increment.
Right. You can do it as long as you like, but at least 15 minutes. And if you're at a feeder, please don't count the same junco 14 times.
Even if I move around a lot. So that sounds really, really fun. So tonight, Juneau Audubon Society presentation with Adelaide Johnson at UAS, 7 o'clock. We're talking about dynamic shoreline.
And be sure you come to the rec hall. It's room 116.
The rec hall, indeed. And where is the rec hall?
It's actually, if you pull into the university, you're going the wrong way. Go across the street, and it's also the Armory and the Recreation Center for UAS.
Okay, great. Sounds good. And then so there's some other stuff going on that you might need some volunteers to lend their eyes and ears and actually report.
Mm-hmm.
And they can find that out.
Information on the webpage.
Sounds great. And do you guys have a Facebook page, too?
We do. We do, the Juneau Audubon Society Facebook.
All right.
Please friend us.
Okay, sounds great. Well, Brenda, thanks for dropping by today and doing all that you do for the community and our birds.
Thanks, Joe.
We appreciate
it. Thank you, Jeff.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
This is Bird Note. A brisk, rhythmic thrumming carries through the forest in Borneo. What sounds like an approaching helicopter are actually the wing beats of a remarkable bird called the rhinoceros hornbill. It's hard to talk about a rhinoceros hornbill without resorting to superlatives. For one thing, it's nearly 4 feet long, yet flies nimbly among the trees. Feathered mostly in black, it has an outlandish, down-curved yellow beak shaped like that of a toucan. But its most striking feature sits on top of its head, a bright red horn-shaped structure that looks like an extra beak, but turned upside down. This extra crown piece, called a casque, curves upward, and its size, shape, and color mark the bird's age and sex and affect its status. Rhinoceros hornbills are among the largest of the world's 54 species of hornbills, which are spread across Africa and India to Asia and New Guinea. Most live in mature tropical forests, but some are desert dwellers. And a few species spend nearly all their lives on the ground, even though they're strong flyers. And when a hornbill does fly, the powerful strokes produce that rhythmic thrumming. Not a helicopter, but a hornbill. For BirdNote, I'm Michael Stein.
Support comes from the Alaska Robotics Gallery, offering art that features narwhals, squid, and flying whales, located at 220 Front Street in downtown Juneau. More information at alaskarobotics.com.
It is 31 minutes past the hour on January 12th. It's 37 at the airport, 39 downtown, 33 in the valley, and 40 in Douglas. So, for the wintertime lovers, not the best forecast, but not the worst yet either, so we'll take it. So our next guest is Val Snyder, and she is here from the Brown Boots Costume Company because there is a special event happening this Saturday. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
So what is going on at the costume shop this weekend?
We're having a costume brunch. It's the middle of winter, and we decided it's time to have some fun. So we're inviting the public in. We're going to have some food and put out our best costumes, which includes some stuff that's new since Halloween, and invite people to just get dressed up and have a good time. We have a photo booth, so you can immortalize whichever look you come up with. And there's also a craft station for build your own superhero costume. No sewing necessary.
That's a good thing for some of us. So let's start with the Brown Boots Costume Company. You're located right between the Douglas Cafe and Perseverance Theater.
Correct. Okay. Across the street from Louis.
There you go. There's another iconic location, Douglas location. And in your shop are costumes, loads of them.
Quite a few. We have mostly ex-theater and opera costumes that have come from Perseverance Theater, Juno Lyric Opera, Opera to Go, Northern Light Junior Theater, and several other smaller groups that have all just brought their costumes they're not using anymore over. So we keep them all there, and we also make new ones. I made a Jedi robe and a Darth Vader cape this week because we didn't have one, and I felt like we should.
You needed one.
So, yeah, we've got new stuff and old stuff. And
so is a Darth Vader cape heavy?
Not terribly. No, not so heavy you couldn't run and overtake somebody.
Let the force take you where it needs to go, that type of thing. So these costumes, they're for sale? They're for rent?
They are both.
All of the above?
Yes.
Okay, so this Saturday, 11 to 2, there's going to be food. I see on the poster there's donuts.
Yes, donuts, cookies, little quiches, sort of finger foods.
Sounds great. And this is definitely kid-friendly.
Absolutely.
Bring your family. There'll be crafts, and then people could just try on.
Yeah, mix and match whatever you want. We've got quite a few group costumes. If you've got a friend or 10 and you want to all dress up together, we can do that. And
it sounds great. So is it free?
Absolutely free. Everything's free.
It sounds great. So here you go. 11 to 2, you've got to be in Douglas to have this little dress-up party.
Yeah.
Maybe not so little.
It'll be awesome.
All right. So you're a costume maker.
Yes.
So I have a few questions for you. So, Val, what was your most favorite costume that you ever made?
There are two X-Wing pilot suits that are the pride and joy of the shop that we made last year from Star Wars. The orange suits with the life supports and the flak jacket and the helmets, the whole deal.
Okay.
They're awesome.
That's good. And then what's your favorite fabric to work with?
Linen.
Interesting.
Nice.
Definitive. She doesn't even have to think about these things. She's just like right there. So you're obviously like maybe a Star Wars fan?
A bit, yes.
Just a bit? What do you think of the newest movie?
I like the new movie. Mm-hmm. It was a good old-fashioned Star Wars adventure.
Mm. Sounds great. Okay, so here you go. It's called Boots and Shoots Brunch. So, because it's the Brown Boots Custom Company, and you could take photos in the photo. So bring your cameras, which of course are in your phones, and come have brunch at the custom shop. Sounds great.
Yeah.
This Saturday, 11 to 2.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.
All righty. Bye.
You call love, but confess you've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin', and now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Yeah. You keep lying when you ought to be truthing, and you keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep saying when you ought to be a-changing. Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right yet. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. You keep playing where you shouldn't be playing, and you keep thinking that you'll never get burned. Ha! I just found me a brand new box of matches, yeah. And what he knows, you ain't had time to learn. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you. Are you ready, Boots? Start walking.
Hey, Juno, have you heard about Aware's 40th birthday celebration? That's right. Aware is celebrating 40 years of providing services to Juno and the Northern Panhandle. The party happens Saturday, January 28th at the Rockwell Ballroom, where Susu and the Prophets will rock the house. So get your tickets at the usual places, and we'll see you on the dance floor at Aware's birthday party and fundraiser, January 28th, 8 p.m. at the Rockwell Ballroom.
The School of Management at the University of Alaska Southeast reaches you where you live and work in Alaska. Online degree programs in business, human resources, and management prepare students with the skills required by Alaska's industries. Learn more at uas.alaska.edu. This message sponsored by University of Alaska Southeast School of Management.
It is 14 minutes to the hour. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. This is a live show with Jeff Brown, who's the producer and engineer. He's at the board. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. And we always end our Thursday shows with Nancy DeCharney, the executive director of the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, who's here to tell us what to do this week. What should we do, Nancy?
Okay.
What should we do?
And then I want you to pick up your socks and take them to the Martin Luther King thing.
Yeah, that's great. Put them on first, I hope.
No. You have to donate them. Tonight there is a special presentation. Have you ever driven out North Douglas and seen how there's all these weird mailboxes out there? It's like sort of particular to North Douglas, it seems like.
That each mailbox is unique.
Very individualized, yeah. Yes.
Could be skis, could be a music box, who knows what it is.
Somebody took some portraits of them, photographs. They're very nicely done. And they are on exhibit at the City Museum.
Oh, nice.
And they're doing a presentation this evening at 6:45. The artist will be there to talk about them. So if you've been curious about that or just are interested, head on up there. That's free, of course. And there's also an Audubon public meeting this evening out at the Rec Center at UAS.
We talked about that, about our dynamic shorelines.
Oh, my. Okay. So tomorrow there is the organ concert, as there often is. It's there at the Red Dog Saloon, for those of you who are whiskey fans.
And wings fans.
And wings fans. And stuff fans. Mm-hmm. They're having whiskey, wings, and wares at the Red Dog Saloon. You can get tickets from them. This event, I think you get to taste 5 different whiskeys.
I think it is.
Yeah, okay. And then there's all these other things going on, too. Tickets are on brown paper tickets.
Right, and that's an Alaska Travel Industry Association Juno Chapters event.
Okay. Yeah. So it should be fun and interesting, and especially if you like whiskey and wings, as you mentioned. Okay.
On a Friday night.
And speaking of a Friday night, there's also a woodland dance. The Juno Ballroom Dance folks are doing cross-step lessons with Bruce and Lupita Botello will start out, and then there's the ballroom dancing over at the Jack all evening.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pay-as-you-can, $10 suggested donation, and it's a really nice time, and they donate the proceeds to the building, which is great.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, come on out and have a nice time dancing, get a little lesson in there. 9:30 to 1:30 a.m., Smuta, live at the Hangar Ballroom. There's more information about this on Facebook.
Okay.
Of course, you can get all kinds of information by going to the website, jahc.org, and looking at the community calendar. There's all the phone numbers and stuff like that you need. Saturday, 10 in the morning until 2, Juno Client Services Fair out at Tlingit Haida for Tlingit Haida Community Council. And from 10 until 3, it's the second Saturday market at the Airport Shopping Mall. 11 until 2, Brown Boots Costume Company is having costumes, crafts, and brunch.
We just spoke to her.
All
right.
Sounds
like a fun superhero type of
superheroes.
Type of event.
Most excellent. I believe she might be helping us with our Renaissance event, actually, that's coming up. So
there's a Renaissance?
Well, the wearable art theme is Renaissance.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, so you can go in many different directions with that, but we might be going to Brown Boots. And from 2 to 4 out at the university, the Alumni Association is offering a art and wine event. Pua Maunu will be giving the art lessons, and I'm not sure who's giving the wine lessons, but that's happening.
You know anyone who might be able to?
Well, I don't know if I should ask him, but there's several other things going on that day, of course, but they do still have two slots available. So,
grab them now, art and wine.
And you can call 796-6569 and speak to Jesse about getting your tickets for that. So it's a nice thing, and it's a fundraiser for the Alumni Association. From 4 to 6, Bullwinkle's Downtown is starting to have a live acoustic bluegrass on Saturday afternoons.
How lovely.
From 4 to 6. Yeah, I think it's, I don't remember the name of the group right now, but it's people you know, and they're very good. So go to that. Have some pizza. You'll feel better.
I told you. She'd tell us what to do.
Yes. And then at 5:30 until 8:30, I think there's some like a lot of brew festival type things going on. It's Alaska Brewing Beer Dinner in Boca Alupo, which is on 2nd Street, the old Silver Bow. Those tickets are $85, and there's a limited number of them, so you can give those folks a call if you like beer and food, and who doesn't? And then from 7 until 9, Meryl Jensen will be talking about the Peterson Girls. The title of this, it's a presentation by the Southeast Alaska Land Trust called Girl Gold Miners of Pearl Harbor. And I'm, of course, thinking Hawaii, but Pearl Harbor is what is actually where the Arboretum is, that little harbor there. Who knew?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so that's where the Peterson Creek and all. Well,
right. So 7 to 9, and where is that?
That is out at the UAS, out on campus someplace, and I forgot to write that down, so you'll have to go to my website and see. From 8 until 10 Saturday night, KRNN is doing a spotlight series over at the Jack with Colette Costa and Mike Gamble.
Ooh!
Now that's going to be a fun time in the old town tonight.
It should be very mellow.
Anyway, I'm drink some coffee before you come here.
Exactly, right.
So, it'll be a hot time in the old town tonight. Saturday, again, after that's over, you can go over to the Hangar Ballroom and Smuta's back over there. So, Sunday, Woosh Kanade from 1 to 4 p.m. out at the Valley Library is having a spoken word poetry workshop. And that's free, of course. And then Juno Jazz and Classics, which you may remember has just changed artistic directors. Linda
Correct.
Rosenthal has resigned or retired. And William Ransom is coming. He's a pianist, and he's offering a concert. It's Champagne and Chopin, and it's over at the Jack. And I would suggest that one, too, by all means, anything with Chopin, Champagne and Chopin.
And the new artistic director of the Juno Jazz
and
Classics.
There he is.
I suspect that man is talented.
He could have something to do, yes, with that. So I'm looking forward to meeting him, and I think we're in for a real treat. Monday is Martin Luther King Day. Many people have the day off. It is the day that wearable art tickets are going to go on sale to the general public, and we're down to about 150 tickets for Saturday. So there will be from 10:30 till 2 Martin Luther's King Service Day with the Red Cross. They'll be looking for volunteers to go around and install smoke alarms in people's homes. If you're interested in helping with that, call 209-1329. From 1 until 2, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s annual community observance at St. Paul's Catholic Church. The Black Awareness Association and Bridge Builders of Juneau are getting together on this, and they are suggesting or inviting you to bring diapers and socks to donate to various charities. So come on out for that. Also from 1 until 4 in the Diamond Courthouse, there will be free legal advice available. And from 6:30 to 7:30 at a Juno Makerspace, a 3D printer workshop.
Ooh,
I've always wanted to play with one of those.
They look great. I've seen them on television shows, and it's just like
magic.
Really?
There's
is that something. Really?
Yeah.
Exist?
How do they do that? On Tuesday.
My question on most things.
How does any of this stuff work? I have no idea. From 5 to 6 on Tuesday, we'll be having an arts roundtable. Among the things that we're interested in is the Rasmussen Foundation wants to find out how their individual artist grants could better serve artists. So please come and give us some thoughts about that. That's from 5 to 6. And also over at Centennial Hall, the film Resilience, The Biology of Stress and Science of Hope is being offered by the Alaska Children's Trust. So that kind of sums it up. But I had a pretty good shopping list there for you.
That's a pretty good shopping list. It is January in Juneau, so it's going to get, you know, our winter months, we take them very seriously.
And the weather is going to be not so great, so you might as well go to all of these things, right?
Exactly. I want to talk about the wearable arts for a second. So if you're a member of the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, the tickets are already on sale. And for the general public, they open on Monday. They're open to the public. And the theme is
Renaissance, which can go in many different directions. The root of the word is rebirth. So you can take that however you want.
You know, so when you say you're going to the Brown Boot Company, costume company, for costumes.
Well, Renaissance, you know, like
the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council staff will be.
Yeah, who knows? We might be in those poofy little hats. You know, you never know what's going to happen.
That's true.
That is true. Yes, you start out with a plan, and then another plan happens.
So, and how many artists are
that? Right now, we are at 33 acts, I believe.
Okay.
So there's always a little flexibility. Sometimes people are optimistic and then something happens in their life and they're unable to complete. But I'm looking at probably 30 to 32 acts on the runway for sure.
And who's directing it this year?
This year it is the lovely and talented Margot Jungberg, who you may have seen in the Vibrator play. And she used to be in Skagway at the Red Onion. She's lots of fun. And Akiko Roach is doing the set. It's very beautiful. Bing is over there right now. As a matter of fact, if you have spare time and you like power tools or painting or stuff like that, we're looking for volunteers to help with the set construction. So give us a call or go onto the website and look down.
What's the time frame on that?
We're doing it. We have this week and next week open, and then the first 2 weeks in February in the evenings probably we'll be doing these things. We are also looking for volunteers for the show. So if usually we have all of our volunteer slots filled up. They're not all filled up. So if you'd be interested in helping with the production, we still need ticket takers and program ushers and people to help with the silent auction, all sorts of stuff. So you could get involved at that level. And it's a whole nother layer to the wearable art show that's way more fun sometimes.
And for the volunteers, is that 18 and older or 21 and older?
Yeah, I think it would need to be an 18 or older because there's alcohol. The event includes alcohol, so you need to be old enough to deal with that sort of stuff.
To be present at such an event. And then who's coordinating that? Who would they call if you want
to
volunteer?
They can call any of us here at the Jack. 586 Arts is the Jack number. Or you can go onto the website and go to the Join. There's a volunteer link and all the volunteers slots. We're also going to be looking for other volunteer slots for things like the Governor's Awards, which are coming up at the end of the month.
That's true.
So if you would like to help with that event, we have many opportunities for you if you're new to town or recently retired and find that time is sitting around not being very much fun. Just come on down.
And they'll keep you busy.
We will keep you busy.
And then I know that you're not a computer with all the information, you know, ready at drop of a hat. But the high school, they have some musicals coming up, don't they?
Well, they do. And if they tell me about them, then I know.
Okay. I think they do. You might want to go to those web pages. I think Beauty and the Beast.
Heard rumors of that.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And then West Side Story.
I've heard rumors of that, too.
Yeah.
It's amazing all the stuff that folks do in this town. I'm really impressed by the energy and creativity and talent every time. There's a lot of stuff that encourage everyone to get involved with it.
It's great. Well, thank you for coming
And
we'll telling us, giving us our marching orders for the weekend and for all that you and your staff do. Very small skeleton staff doing the work of an army. So come join the army and become a volunteer. All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Coming into the country, John McPhee's best-selling book about Alaska is a snapshot of the state at a pivotal moment after the discovery of oil, but before the first barrel flowed down the pipeline. In January, Alaska's Energy Desk will celebrate the 40th anniversary of the book's publication with a live forum. Come meet Willie Hensley and other guests featured in the book as they talk about Alaska, then and now. Join us Tuesday, January 24th at 7 p.m. at 360 in the KTOO building in Juneau.
Well, thank you for sharing your afternoon with Jeff Brown, the producer and engineer of Juneau Afternoon, and myself, Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. The weather, tonight we have rain and snow, no further snow accumulation. It's going to be low in the mid-30s. Lows will be in the mid-30s tomorrow. Looks like the same. We've got rain, highs in the mid-30s. And then tomorrow night, rain and snow, maybe snow, heavy at times Friday night, southeast winds to 20 miles per hour. And then Saturday, we're looking at rain showers, highs around 40. So right now, 35 at the airport and downtown, 32 in the valley, and 37 in Douglas. Juneau Afternoon, you can always find online at ktoo.org. Listen at your will, at your leisure, anytime. And tomorrow, Andy Klein will be doing Juneau Afternoon like he does every Friday. And we'll be chatting about Champagne and Chopin, the Juneau Jazz and Classics concert this Sunday. And then about that Wings and Wares, Whiskey, Wings and Wares event at the Red Dog. And then Nick Jans will be here to highlight his Friday fireside lecture about the new Black Wolf exhibit at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center. And then get a full schedule of the activities for Monday's Martin Luther King Jr. Day here in Juneau. Thanks for listening.